As you enter Gallery 2, turn left. This gallery space is 12.5 by 11 metres and 4 metres high. There is a tangential wall that forms a wide corridor along the northern wall as you exit to the west. The first large painting is on the eastern wall, to the left. It is 40 Baskets Beach by David Aspden, painted in 1983, acrylic on canvas. This 195 by 164 centimetre abstract painting in landscape colours of black, beige, brown and flashes of red has strong and lively rhythms of dark and light brush strokes which cover the entire surface in vertical, interlocked, irregular shapes. One of Australia's leading colour field and hard edge abstract painters, Aspden responded to the Australian landscape, creating visual rhythms through an expert use of tone and colour. 40 Baskets Beach conveys the textures of the coastal scrub at the edge of a North Sydney beach, or the ribbons of dying seaweed washed up on the sand. Alongside, to the right, is a smaller 90 by 60 centimetre acrylic painting on linen by Tim Johnson, titled Papunya, painted between 1983 and 85. In this painting, the figures of 14 Indigenous artists are placed evenly in the middle and foreground of the work, amid an ochre-coloured landscape. A salt pan and hills lie in the distance. Other symbols mark the ground around the figures. A layer of white dotting surrounds them and covers the background. A key influence for Johnson was spending time with the Pintupi, Walpiri and Amadjara communities at Papunya in the Western Desert in the 1980s. Alongside is a doorway that leads to gallery storage areas before meeting the gallery wall to the south. Turn right. The first exhibit is a film about the women of Utopia. The projection measures 91 by 120 centimetres and plays against the southern wall. The film, directed by Keith Gow in 1984, documents the life and creative work of Aboriginal women living at Utopia Station, located about 230 kilometres northeast of Alice Springs. The work reflects the connections between daily life and the important cultural stories reflected in their creative practice, which produced highly sought-after batik fabric works. Artists in the film include Emily Cam Ngwari, Rosalie Kunoth Monks, Gloria Pachari and Myrtle Pachari. The next painting further to the right is a synthetic polymer paint on canvas work. Snake Dreaming by Timmy Papunga Chapangati, 123 by 76 centimetres. Chapangati, a Pintupi man, was one of the original painters of the Western Desert Movement at Papunya. This painting combines images of snakes that move horizontally across the work, with a series of concentric circles, each joined one to the next by three or four lines. This motif of the ceremonial ground is decorated with areas of dotting in ochres, purple, black, white and grey. Alongside hang three earth pigment or ochre paintings by Rover Thomas. The shade from the hill comes over and talks in language, Bedford Downs Massacre and Horseshoe Creek, 90 by 180 centimetres. These works hang in landscape orientation and feature shapes filled with flat colour surrounded by white dotted lines. They are based on a series of massacres that occurred in the East Kimberley region from the 1880s to the 1920s during the settlement of the region. By depicting these shocking histories, often unreported but passed down through oral traditions, Thomas aimed to create records of his community's experience and the violence inflicted by white settlers. Turn right. A large painting in limited colours of greys, blue and white by Immense Tiller is positioned centrally on the western wall. Pater Physical Man appropriates an earlier painting by the Italian artist Giorgio De Chirico, The Archaeologist, 1927, as well as drawing on Latvian children's books and handprints like those found in Aboriginal rock art. In 1981, Tillers began to develop a process of painting on multiple canvas board panels, which, when connected, form large-scale gridded works. The individual panels are numbered from 1 to infinity and are understood as part of a continually expanding whole, collectively titled The Book of Power. As Tillers explained in an artist monograph published in 1988, the idea comes from the French poet Mallarmé, who wrote in 1893, "Everything in the world exists to end up in a book." To the right of Pater Physical Man, a section of wall juts into the space for 1 metre and then angles in slightly for around 7 metres, turning us towards the northeast. In front of the angled wall is a low plinth, on it the installation 11 Frogs, Water Witch, for the memory of Tony Golden, Joe Birch, Gunther Christman, Old Charlie Pollock, Alec Wilson, Old Jim Talty, Ernie Williams, Brian Chantrell, Wizard Smith, George Noble, Cox Miriam, Varley, 2020, by Robert McPherson. McPherson is interested in how objects become designated as art. His installation features the artist's personal collection of water divining tools, which are used in the practice of dowsing or water witching. Each tool is dedicated to a figure from McPherson's personal history, creating juxtapositions between people, objects, and names. Above the plinth are 4 photographs by Richard Waldendorp. The images, taken through the window of a small aircraft at a height of around 1,000 metres, exclude the horizon, so the viewer loses a point of reference. This lends a painterly style to the works, resulting in an abstraction of the landscape that was personal to Waldendorp's eye. 3 of the photographs were taken in the Kimberley and the 4th in the Gascoyne region of Western Australia. From here, navigate around the end of the angled wall into a narrower space which transitions to galleries 3 and 4. On the left angled wall is Suzanne Norrie's painting, Lavished Living. The title is a pun on the popular magazine Vogue Living and developed in response to Norrie's research on Australian landscape painting, 19th century botanical drawings, and the private sketchbooks of colonial women. The work appropriates Eugene von Gerard's romantic Mount William from Mount Dryden, 1857, incorporating it into an imagined foreground of ambiguous shapes. Some items look like large bright turquoise and gold-coloured skeins of wool, others roughly finished timber uprights. Norrie examines the female presence, or lack thereof, in the Australian colonial landscape, writing her own version of cultural history. Next is a work by Judy Kassab titled Leaping, 53 by 73 centimetres, which belongs to a desert series developed by Kassab in the mid-1980s. In these works, fragments of the artist's original landscape sketches appear through the thin washes and surface of the paint, indicating the fundamental nature of drawing and expressive line work within Kassab's practice. At the end of the angled wall are 2 small black and white graphic line works by Mike Brown, tone sheet and photocopy on acetate, one titled Idle in Landscape and the second Space Drift and Sun. Mike Brown was a leader of the alternate avant-garde in Australia, boundary-breaking, opinionated, and critical of mass culture, advertising, and censorship. He worked across a range of media, including graffiti, collage, painting, and digital art. There is consistency in Brown's treatment of opposing forces, order and chaos, organic and geometric, colour and tone, and how they coexist within each image. Turn to the opposite wall on the right, Facing north is Vivian Bynne's painting, The Aftermath and the Icon of Fear. This painting is a landscape, obscured by brazen red crosses. The painting features a faceless baby, contorted and spewing forth a jet that mushrooms into a cloud above. This visceral image signals a sense of frustration and fear, echoed by the title, and reveals Bynne's interest in the psychoanalytical realm. To the right hang the last two works in Gallery 2. Firstly, Mike Brown's Oil on Canvas, View from a Box, 91 by 121 centimetres, and then the smaller oil on board painting, Untitled, bracket, Mindscape with Yellow Shapes, bracket, 50 by 60 centimetres. View from the Box features bright, sharp-edged geometric shapes. On the left, a hollow cube with a black silhouette of a landscape inside, like a shadow box, next to a triangular prism. Both shapes float against a flat, apricot-coloured background. Untitled, bracket, Mindscape with Yellow Shapes, bracket, features an arrangement of four large yellow panel-like shapes floating in black space amongst a plethora of space junk, including several cuboid shapes in the lower left. Cohesion is brought by pale lilac shapes within the paintings, and this is also used as an irregular frame around the edges. These works reflect his relentless energy and drive to experiment. Further to your right is the entry to Gallery 4, or turn to your left and exit along the northern wall. Turn right at the end of the wall to enter Gallery 3.